Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
You are tapping on. My head must be something that I'm doing right. But more that I need to know, more than I need, that I need to ride. You are tapping in the nighttime, tapping all day long. Maybe you just want to hear the sweet song. Dude, do you want me to live again? Live again, live again. Maybe you just want to hear the sweet song. Do you want me to heal again? Maybe you just want to hear the sweet song. Do you want me to fly again? Maybe you just want to hear the sweet song. Do you want me to give again? Forgive again. Give again, give again. Oh, I feel you tapping maybe you.
Want to live again, or do you want to live in the yes? Living in the yes, ushered in by the wonderful intuitive rebel Charles Holt, can never get enough of Tapped In. And we are getting ready for a phenomenal show tonight. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. I am Celeste Morgan, one of the hosts here on Life Conversations Radio Network. But one of my pleasures in life is hanging out on Tuesday night for a fireside chat with Rev D. She brings spiritual tools you can use to upgrade your understanding about spiritual qualities. And she's going in part three on cultivating the spirit of yes. You want in on this conversation? The call-in number is 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. And let me let you know where you can find more of Charles' wonderful music. He is on iTunes, and you can also find him at his website at intuitiverebel.com. And now, family, without further ado, let's welcome Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Hey, Rev D, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm feeling so blessed. It's springtime in North Carolina here. How's it going in California?
Oh, it has been gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It has really, really been gorgeous weather. Not enough rain for us yet, though, still. That's a little problematic, but it's been great.
Okay, so we need more rain, you're saying. We need some water?
Yes.
Interesting.
We need some water.
Okay.
We've had a drought here for a number of years.
Oh.
And it got to be really, really bad. Last year we had the least amount of rain in recorded history. We had a couple of spells where we got some downpours like all at once. But yeah, we could use a little rain, and it's been gorgeous.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, when you hear about the weather, they don't let you know what the land is in need of. I think that's a good question to ask people who are living in different places from you.
Yeah.
You know, like, what does your land need? So I'll be thinking about rain for your part of California.
Good.
I believe in magic on a new moon day.
Mm-hmm.
Why not plant seeds for water? So I'm looking forward to what else you'll download. So much is moving this week. You know, we did the celebration, the tribute of Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've had some personal thoughts about that, and I don't know what Wilhelmina is up to. I'm really looking forward to whatever you... I'm looking forward to playing tonight and growing. And I got a question later.
Surely. I want to welcome all the guests. And will you remind everybody what the calling number is?
It is 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad.
Yes, we would absolutely love to hear from you. And we'll be taking breaks at different point in time. And just to be as interactive as it can possibly be, don't feel shy. If there's a question on your mind, or even if it's a comment, you know, it's 347-426-3346. Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a very reflective new year, I guess is what I would call it. I can feel a lot of change in the air. We just got through the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration weekend. And on Friday night, I went and saw the movie Selma. And I've been doing some things on Facebook, posting some things there, reflections on Selma and reflections on Martin Luther King Jr. On the day that we were celebrating, yesterday, I had this posted on my website. It says, we often associate MLK Jr. with equality, justice, and freedom. Yet all of these are mere byproducts, the fruit of his most essential goal and message, root in love. Not the emotion, but the soul power of agapeo love, a direction of the will, the choice to remain in oneness despite differences and offenses. Unconditional love is perpetual forgiveness. Let love illumine your path, resolve your conflicts, and lead you home to your highest self. I'm actually going to read that again. We often associate MLK Jr. with equality, justice, and freedom. Yet all of these are mere byproducts, the fruits of his most essential goal and message. Root in love. Not the emotion, but the soul power of agapeo love, a direction of the will, the choice to remain in oneness despite differences and offenses. Unconditional love is perpetual forgiveness. Unconditional love is perpetual forgiveness. Let love illumine your path, resolve your conflicts, and lead you home to your highest self. we've been talking this month about cultivating the spirit of yes. We talked about what yes is. We've been talking about what it means to have the spirit of something as an ongoing activity. And we talked some about the process of cultivating. But I want to spend a little bit more time today talking about cultivating. Because one of the things that has to be cultivated, if we're really going to do yes, is we have to cultivate capacity to love. We have to cultivate our capacity to love. Martin Luther King Jr.'s message was one of love. He's a preacher. He's a preacher of the Christian faith, a proud man of the cloth, from a long line of preachers on both sides of his family. Not only was his father a preacher and his younger brother a preacher, but his grandfather was a preacher. In fact, his mother, Alberta, married her daddy's assistant minister, Martin Luther King Sr. There at Ebenezer Church, they had at least three generations of the King family there and the Williams family before then. And Martin Luther King Jr. was steeped in this. He understood it. He knew it. And part of his brilliance is the way that he, like Mahatma Gandhi, really understood the political implications of Jesus' love ethic. Jesus wasn't a mere pacifist. Jesus' message about love, not just loving your neighbor, but loving your enemy as well. He had a keen understanding that this love can melt down walls, that this love is transformative. But it's a love that you have to choose. I can't say that enough. Most of us think of love as an emotion, as though it's a feeling that has to come upon us. And we're waiting for the feeling to come upon us. You know, we'll even say things like, yeah, I ain't quite feeling that yet. But this love that Gandhi spoke of, that King later spoke of, this kind of love, it's not an emotion. In the English language, we just have one word for love, and that could be anything from, you know, how you feel about, you know, your pet to your relationship with God, how you feel about music to the feeling that you have for your child. Just this one word. You can tell a lot about a language by how many words it has to describe things. You can tell a lot about the culture. We have dozens of names for buildings, for different kind of cars. Very, very specific. This is a convertible. This is a sports utility vehicle. This is a Jeep. This is a coupe. You know, I mean, like very, 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 very specific. Just this one word, love. Well, in Greek, which is the language that a lot of the New Testament first was written in, there are a lot of different words for love. There's eros love, which is a romantic kind of love. There's platonic love. There's phileo love, which is more of a familial kinship kind of a love. But there's also agapeo love. And this agapeo love is a very special kind of love. And whenever we see in Scripture where Jesus is commanding people to love or using the term love, it's this kind of love that's being referred to, not a feeling, not an emotion, but a power. It's a power of the mind to unify. It's a soul force that connects things that have been fragmented, separated, and brings it back into wholeness. It is a direction of the will. It is a choice. When he says, love your enemies, he's not asking you to feel fond. And this was something that King pointed out. He said he was so happy that Jesus didn't say, like your enemies, because it's pretty hard to like people who are bombing your house. The command is not to like them. The command is to love them. It's to still stay connected, no matter what. This kind of love has to be cultivated. See, when you cultivate, you have to make preparations. If you cultivate the soil, that means you have to do something to make it receptive. You have to do something to make it fertile. You know, you have to make it malleable. You get your hoe, you get your weed whackers. You take out the rocks and the rubbles and the thorns and the thistles. You know, there's things that you have to do to make it fertile ground. Well, it's the same thing with us. We have to cultivate our heart. We have to cultivate our minds. There's things that we have to do to prepare ourselves to be able to express this kind of agapeo love. We have to challenge our prejudices. We have to be willing to move into states of forgiveness. We have to give up the sense of victimization and people being villains over us whom we're giving the power to ruin our lives. I mean, all these kinds of things we have to let go of. I have to be willing to see you still as a child of God and not just who or what it is that you've done. There's a part of me that has to be in a place of transcendence. That's part of the cultivation factor. The other thing that happens when we're cultivating ourselves is that it sometimes requires that we actually develop a taste for something. If we were to look at this from a culinary sense, for example, we might come across a different kind of a cuisine. Maybe it uses spices or seasonings that unfamiliar to us. Maybe it's different kinds of fruits or vegetables or textures. At first, it may seem a little odd, a little strange, kind of a taste that doesn't quite sit with us initially. If we keep consuming it and keep getting exposed to it, that which at first we rejected or didn't feel connected to, and it didn't seem to be all that pleasurable, with the sophistication of the cultivation of our tastes, all of a sudden we grow to like it and can really appreciate its nuances and the things that it brings to the table that were actually different than what it was that we used to experience. And such it is with our minds, and such it is with this thing called love. At first, loving at this kind of level seems a little crazy. Feels dangerous. Sometimes it even feels irresponsible. Why in the world would you love this person who's done this thing, you know, or that? Loving at this level can feel counterintuitive, as though it doesn't even seem like the right thing that I should be doing, or perhaps even counterproductive. Is loving in this situation perpetuating behavior or consciousness that I don't really want to see perpetuated. And wouldn't not loving be a good way to dole out the punishment and to register to all parties concerned and the universe that this is just not okay? These are the things that we experience and that we go through all of the time. And yet, if there's a part of us that's willing to not distance, to not stay estranged, a part of us that's willing to, as it says in the scripture, like the sun, to shine upon the just and the unjust, if there's a part of us that realizes that whenever we withhold love, the one that we're really hurting is ourselves, because the only way that you can withhold love is to dim your own light so that you're not shining quite as brightly. You know, this kind of love is possible, and as King would often say about progress, it doesn't ride in upon the wings of inevitability. Forgiveness is a choice. Connection is a choice. Reconciliation is a choice. It's not just a fond feeling that falls upon you. It's a choice. Before we take our break, I want to share just a tad bit of history. In my sermon on Sunday, I was speaking about a number of different things related to the civil rights movement and bits of history that people, I think, really should know about, but I realize that many don't. I was sharing how so many people just say Martin Luther King, and I always make it a point to say Junior. Otherwise, it eclipses the fact that there was a senior. And this program is broadcasting out of Atlanta, so I know y'all know. He was referred to as Daddy King. Very strong, very, very, very powerful man. Progressive, influential, really quite something, a force to be reckoned with. Well, everybody is aware that he lost his son, Martin Jr., on April the 4th, 1968. He was the middle child of three. Martin Sr. and Alberta Williams King had three children in 4 years. They were very close in age. And Martin Jr. was the middle child. He died at 39. He was assassinated at 39. The next year, the younger brother drowned. Alfred Daniel King drowned. He, too, was a preacher at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. He died slightly before his 39th birthday. So here, Daddy King has lost his two sons. The first child was a daughter. He's lost his two sons within a year, very tragically. It's now 1969, and if that's not enough, 5 years later, in 1974, his wife, Alberta, King Jr.'s mother, shot to death in Ebenezer Church, sitting at the organ, which she played faithfully on Sundays. She was killed, Deacon was killed, another person badly wounded. The assassin was a young black man, 23 years old, transient. Marcus, I think his last name was Chestnut. Marcus was given sentence, the death penalty, for this heinous crime. He didn't know them, but in his deranged state of mind, he thought that Christians were evil. Apparently, it was his intention to actually kill Daddy King. According to him, Alberta just, quote-unquote, happened to be closer. So here you have this man who, within 6 years, has lost his two sons, his wife murdered right there on his pulpit. This is her home. She has grown up in this church. Her daddy was the pastor. Her husband was the pastor for 40 years. And both her sons co-pastored in this church. She has been in this church her whole life. And there she is gunned down from this church. At the funeral, Daddy King, at his wife's funeral, Daddy King said that there is nothing that could make him hate. His son, Junior, said the same thing. And you know what Daddy King did? When his wife's murderer was given life, was given the death sentence, he fought like crazy to get that man off of death row. He fought like crazy to have the sentence changed to life imprisonment. That's the kind of love that I'm talking about. That's the kind of love that's cultivated. That's the kind of love that it takes to really cultivate the spirit of yes. For him to really live out the truth of his Christian creed, to say yes to that deep level of his belief and his discipleship, he had to be willing to love at that level. Saying yes requires love. Let's take a break.
Wow, Rev D, I just, you know, I mean, you tell me, I'm so ready. I'm so happy that I was prepared when you said take a break. Because I was literally, you know, hanging on your words. It's like the not even just the words, but the energy of the breath with which you're speaking it. It the storytelling. And I just learned this year about Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s mother and wondered to myself, why isn't this widely discussed? Known? What's your understanding about what this moment is about? Would it change? Would it shift if you acknowledge the senior with that junior? Powerful. You're listening to Living in a Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Anything that's on your heart right now? Any questions that you might have on this new moon night? Tonight's the night to make it happen. 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. Plant some seeds of transformation. And we are going to be right back right after these messages.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
The world of business continues to evolve, and at this time, companies need an internet presence. For this purpose, meet Electra Ford, owner of the Virtual Office Center. Electra implements internet marketing plans connecting you to your audience online. What is business if it is not seen? For product launching, raising websites' position in the search engines, and expanding your reach online, contact Electra Ford at 501-993-6734. That's 501-993-6734, or visit virtualofficecenter.net.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We are having a conversation tonight about cultivating the spirit of yes. And there are other places where you can learn about Rev D. You can go to innerlightministries.com, and I've been over there, and I've been able to check out that they got a soul music series with Karen Drucker coming up on January 25th. Rev D, what's happening over there? I'd love to go to that.
We have some absolute wonderful things that are going on, and I do encourage people to check our website, www.innerlightministries.com. We do have a concert with Karen Drucker that's coming up on this particular Sunday. One of the things that I'm personally excited about, a week from tomorrow on January the 28th, we have a convocation, a Martin Luther King Jr. convocation that happens here in the city of Santa Cruz. It's a free event down at the Santa Cruz Civic. Our guest speaker this year is Angela Davis. I'm going to be doing the opening remarks. I love Angela. I've had a chance to be on many panels with her. She's been here on my pulpit with me for an event as well. And anybody in our area, I tell you, you don't want to miss Angela Davis. She is all that. And a few bags of chips. All
oh
of that.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you check our website, you can find out about some of the programs that are going on. And I'm going to be putting together a very special package invitation to the listeners of this show, a special opportunity, rare treat, to be able to work very close with me on a year-long journey where we will have opportunities to get together in virtual community and really go deep in doing our spiritual practice. I'm very, very, very excited about it. We're just now finishing up the in-person version, and that will be launching in a few weeks, and shortly thereafter we'll launch the virtual. So
mm-hmm.
Posted.
I'm so looking forward to that. You know, Ravdi, you know you're becoming fast one of my favorite storytellers. And I have a request.
Yes.
It's actually a request and a gift. You see, Life Coach Today has a beautiful mother. Of course, he was born. I keep saying he was hatched, but he wasn't. He was born. And it's her birthday today, Ravdi. I didn't know that. And guess what her name is?
What?
I call her Queen Esther. Her name is Esther. Miss Esther. Excuse me. Miss Esther. Because your son corrects me about letting children call me by my first name. Miss Esther. Excuse me. But happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And hiya, day.
Hey.
Happy
yep,
birthday.
She's no longer. Thank you. She's no longer in a physical body, but she is present. I spoke to my younger sister today, who is in England, and she dreamt about my mother. And in the dream, somebody they knew was having a birthday party, and my mom had this multicolored outfit on. And in the dream, my mom said, "I got to go and change if I'm going to the birthday party." My younger sister told me that in the dream, she changed to white. White outfit to go to the party, and that was today on her birthday. I was so happy, especially for her, because she took it really, really hard. And so to be able to experience mom in her dream is just a blessing. Yes.
That's wonderful. Very.
Mm-hmm. Mm, thank you both.
My pleasure. So my request is, I've never had anybody really break down the Esther story your way. And I didn't know if you had it in your back pocket, if it's a story that you hold, or if it's something I have to put in a parking lot for later.
I mean, sure. I mean, I could give you a sort of short Cliff Notes version.
Yay! Thank you.
I'm fond of that particular story for this one line that's often quoted out of context, and most people don't realize what it's been associated with, and that line is, for such a time as this. So the gist of the story, and I'll relate it to some of the things that we're talking about now, is that the gist of the story is that the king, or the pharaoh, I guess, actually, is taking on many different wives. And this Jewish man, Mordecai, sets up his niece Esther to be, you know, in the running. And she's very beautiful. She's chosen. But her husband doesn't know that she's Hebrew. There comes a point in time when there's some pretty awful things that are being planned to oppress the Hebrew people in the land. And Mordecai comes to Esther and essentially says, you need to do an intervention. You have his ear. You need to come out. You need to come out of the closet. I'm reminded of Martin Luther King Jr. when he would explain that there comes a time when silence is betrayal. He told people as he started speaking out against the Vietnam War, he says, you know, there that in the final analysis, what you will remember the most, you know, are not the mean-spirited things of your enemies, but the silence of your friends. Mordecai explains to Esther, we need you to speak up. And furthermore, perhaps the whole reason for your being there in this position of power, this position of influence, this position to make a difference, perhaps the whole reason why any of this happened at all was for such a time as this. And I contend that we're always at it for such a time as this moment. That we're always being called up and called out. And Esther was being called to say yes at a deeper place, to risk, you know, perhaps her very life. But to live in wholeness, to not fragment, to not splinter, to not sit there in her cushy entitlement while she passes, but to say yes. Say yes to her heritage. Say yes to the truth of her being. To dare to put it out there and to say something. And I think those kinds of moments are before us all the time. Before us all the time. Where there's just that little something extra that we're being called on to do, to say. And do we say yes? That's my version.
Yes calls us deeper.
Thank you for that, Rabti.
We know that yes calls us up. What we forget and don't want to deal with is that yes calls us out.
Yes, that, oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Those are two different things.
Yes.
Being called up, you got to take that extra step. You have to grow. You have to stretch. Being called out means you got to deal. Huh. You have to do some introspection. You have to take a look at yourself. You got to make some changes. You have to deal with your inconsistencies and the internalization of the oppressions and the hypocrisies and all your excuses and all the stuff that's been holding you back. When you call out, you got to look at yourself. That's one of the things that Martin Luther King Jr. was brilliant at. He didn't just call us up. He called us out.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Yes.
He called us out. He basically took American values and crammed them right down America's throat. He said, you're not living up to your creed. You say you're this, but you're not. And to be honest with you, that's the tactic that any good nonviolent social change activist is going to take. Where you're putting it before the people that you're wanting to change, not so much what they can do for you, but how, if they change, they're going to be more in alignment with their highest values. It's not that you're doing me a favor, but you'll be a better Christian. You'll be a better American. You'll actually be a better whatever it is that you are once you do right by me. And that the issue here really isn't even so much you're not doing me right as it is you're out of alignment with your own values. And since I'm on this roll, let me say this other thing.
Yeah, sure.
Which I put on my Facebook page and Interlight's Facebook page too, and I really encourage everybody
please.
To take a look.
Speak
at
on that. Speak on it, please.
When I went to see the movie Selma, which, of course, is the story about the infamous marches from Selma to Montgomery that Martin Luther King Jr. led, that was really pivotal to the passage of the Voting Rights Act in the mid-1960s. Very difficult time. That first march didn't go well. The level of violence and police brutality was captured on film and televised live around the world. It horrified people and called us out, this very kind of thing that I'm talking about, the inconsistency with the nation that we think that we are. These people just wanted to vote. They weren't even asking for the right to vote. They already had the right to vote. They just wanted the freedom to exercise their right to vote. That's what was being challenged. They also had the right to protest, which was also not being granted to them. An essential character in the movie and in this moment in history is Governor George Wallace, who's the governor of Alabama. And he's known for being extremely racist in the sense that he was so pro-segregation. One of his most famous lines associated with him was, "I say segregation now, I say segregation tomorrow, and I say segregation forevermore." That was the platform that he stood on. He basically sanctioned, even though he didn't appreciate it and didn't directly order it, but in his complicity, he sanctioned the police brutality that was happening against the marchers. And you know, he did quite a few things that you know, were pretty out there, and he was a central figure around the whole segregation, you know, integration moment. He ran for president a couple of times and failed. In his 1972 run for presidency, he had an assassination attempt on him, which left him paralyzed. He never ran for president again after that. But in the meantime, right about this time after he gets shot, he has a come to Jesus. He has a literal come to Jesus where he comes out as a quote-unquote born-again Christian and does something that's just unbelievable, but admits that he's wrong. I mean, like, really admits that he's wrong, spends the rest of his life making amends. He is in venues large and small. He goes back to Dexter Baptist Church, where King got started, in Montgomery, the capital, where you know, he's been the governor for numerous times. He's on Larry King Live. I mean, he's everywhere. Admitting that he was wrong and begging forgiveness, which in fact he was granted, as evidenced in the fact that in his last go-round for governorship, his fourth term in 1982, just 17 years or so after the marches on from Selma to Montgomery, he gets over 90% of the black vote. He gets over 90% of the black vote. Unbelievable. And what I mentioned in Facebook is that this kind of turnaround, to me, is the real point. That the idea of civil rights is just the backdrop for something much larger. In some respects, I'm kind of sorry that we called it a civil rights movement, because it's really a spiritual rights movement. That's what it is. It's a spiritual rights movement, which essentially says that if all of us are equal under the eyes of God, then the discrimination is not justifiable. So these discriminatory things are like a brick wall that's keeping us away from each other, and we're dismantling it brick by brick. So one brick might be desegregation of transportation, and another brick is desegregation of public accommodations, and another brick is the freedom to exercise your right to vote. These little like bricks, but they aren't the point. These are just obstacles in the way of something much larger. At the end of the movie, Selma, and I think it was just a brilliant movie, there are little one or two sentences about a number of the main characters, you know, real historical figures, just giving you a little update about what's happened in their lives. And in pretty much all of them, they give you the update until their death, or update into what they're doing now, kind of a broad brush. For George Wallace, it just simply said that he had run, this is my recollection now, I've only seen it once, that he had run for president and lost, and that he was now paralyzed after this assassination attempt. And I was very disappointed that some people in the audience actually cheered at that. More sad of feeling like what a missed opportunity, and I don't know the reasoning. I don't know the rationale why there was not an extra sentence there that just said, and the man had a turnaround and realized the error of his ways, you know, repented, asked forgiveness, and made amends. Personally, I think that little piece of information would have just taken the roof off, and would have demonstrated and shown the power of this kind of love. When you don't hate and you don't fight back, and you love your oppressor back to wholeness. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. was always talking about. He said, I'm not just here trying to win rights for black people or for poor people. That it's everybody. Even when he talked about his own death. Oh, sure, he wanted to live a long time. Everybody wanted to live long. But these words were just so telling. He says, but if my physical death will save my children and my white brothers from a permanent psychological death, I can think of no other act that would be more redemptive. That's some love. I mean, that's some yes to a higher calling. And personally, I think that it's a wonderful story and a wonderful understanding that after all of that, after all the violence and all the death and the terrorism and the oppression and all of the rest of that, that the human heart can change when met with love. And not just that the human heart can change, because his turnaround is part of the story, but the other part of the story was the willingness of the very people who were oppressed to turn around and embrace him. I can't say that enough, because forgiveness, the forgiveness is in these social political arenas, is laying in the hands of the ones who've been oppressed. And whether it's Nelson Mandela or Tutu, or Desmond Tutu, Bishop Tutu, or the Dalai Lama, I mean, the list can just go on and on and on. All people who have been horrifically oppressed, but through agapeo love, have not lost sight of the fact that their oppressors are still their brothers and sisters under the eyes of God, who've just forgotten. Before we break, I want to leave you with this one short story to me so dearly. It was a story that Thich Nhat Hanh told. It was about one of his colleagues, a Tibetan monk, who had been captured and tortured as a prisoner at the hands of the Chinese for many years. When he was released and he was being interviewed, he was asked, were there ever times when he was really afraid? And he said, oh yes, there were. And he was asked, what was it that made you the most afraid? What did you fear the most? And he said, I was afraid that I was going to lose compassion for the Chinese.
You are listening to Living the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. The caller number is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. We do have a caller, Lisa from Florida. Hold the line. We're going to be bringing you on right after these messages.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
I'm tired of running from my life.
Hello, family. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other.
And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
There are people in the world who make you feel that no matter how bad things are, you're going to make it. That though times are tough and the road looks rough, somehow you're going to reach your goal regardless of what you believe. That's what the 1-2 family is striving for. To be the voices that never say never and never tire of saying, you're going to make it. Join us, 1-2 Radio, 1-2 Listen, and 1-2Academy.com. We believe in you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Living the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. And we are learning more about what it means, cultivating the spirit of yes tonight. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. That's how we know to come over to you. And Rev D, before the break, I said that we had a caller. Are you ready to take that call?
Sure. Yes, I would love to.
All right, Lisa from Florida, say hello to Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I wanted to talk to you. I'm going through a huge transition in my life. 3 years ago, almost three, it's July, it'll be 3 years that I lost everything. I lost my job, I lost my home, my kids had to go live with their father full time. So I've got been going huge transition. I lived with family for a little while, that worked out, friends, just not, so dealing with securing home. Don't be where at home, and then now I've been living in the car probably about 8 months now. I've had a few jobs on and off, you know, little jobs here and there. It's like I can't have a home without a job, and I can't have a job without a home. They work hand in hand. It's hard to go to work, get up early, and go for a job when you can't even get a good night's rest and sleep in the bed. So I'm trying to, get some days I feel motivated, you know, to look for work and move on. And there are other days where I just feel like giving up.
I can certainly understand how the circumstances and the things that you've been dealing with could make you feel like wanting to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I want to do is commend you on the fact that you haven't.
Well, I think because I have two, they're young, you know, they're young men, but still I have two sons that, you know, I think about, and I don't want to leave them with their father, so I think it works for them.
Whatever the reason.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason, my point is that you are still here. You're still striving, and you've made it. You're not every place that you want to be, but I want to give you full congratulations on having weathered through a really big storm in your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's more to life for you to have. There's goodness in life that is still yours, waiting for you. the most important thing right now in terms of your mindset? Of course, you've got all your basic needs that you have to deal with, but what's most important now is hold your head up high. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You are valued. You are worthy. God loves you. And you can stake a claim on life. You can stake a claim that says better days are coming. And they are mine. And nobody and nothing can take it away from me. And start giving praise now. Now. Thank you, God, now for my deliverance. Thank you, God, now for my home, my shelter. Thank you, God, for my job. Thank you, God, for all needs met. Just keep believing in you and believing in God. God restores. God restores us. God heals us. Say nice things about you. You're not what's going on. It's not you. You're going through it, but it's not you. You are more than any of that. And you deserve just because you are. Just because you exist. There was a chant we used to do in the 60s. Actually, I think Reverend Jesse Jackson was the one who started it. I am somebody. I am somebody. Affirming that affirmation of our value. Yes, I'm glad that you haven't given up because your sons have been a motivating factor. And your life is worth saving.
Mm-hmm.
Sons or no sons, you are worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. Your life can turn around. You can be happy and whole and safe and secure.
would say.
What's your name?
Dina.
Know that you're loved. And I'm keeping you in my prayers, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank Lisa for calling in. It's always such bravery to share your pain.
Yes.
And people who do that, I honor them.
Yes.
I do.
What it's like to face really hard times. I feel like you don't know.
Mm-hmm. You're in the middle of, so, like you're not enough.
Yeah.
Get down there like that, because I definitely struggle with not feeling like enough, but it comes off with really scary perfectionistic mostly, but by the 6 month you realize I'm not doing it because it's my natural ability. I'm doing it because I'm worthy of the love you're giving me. And that's what I'm learning about myself and trying to grow through and go through right now. Stop overcompensating to know that I'm enough. That comes up sometimes with you on this show. Like, I want to prove to God that I really got it. Like, no, really, I'm going to memorize Proverbs 8 because I want you to know how much I love you. When really I want to memorize Proverbs 8 because I think it's beautiful and I want to memorize it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's nothing for us to prove to God. God knows who we are. Whenever we're proving to ourselves. The tests that we go through prove ourselves to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see ourselves. We get to see what we're made of. God already knows. There is nothing you can do that would be a newsflash to God. God's not like waiting like, gee, I don't know this. I wonder what's going to happen here. Well, gee, I won't be able to figure anything out until, you know, Betty Boop over here does something. But God's not waiting for anybody to do anything. God's not waiting for us to inform God about who we are or our plans or what we're going to do. God does not need all of that.
Wow.
And newsflash, God don't care.
God don't care, Rev.
No. No. When God is ready for you to do something, you're going to do it. God doesn't care about the excuses. God's not waiting for you to do anything. To get another degree, to get a divorce, to leave this job, to, you know, get this thing, clean up your credit, forgive so and so. God, it's a come as you are party. God uses you exactly as you are. Exactly. God knows. There is nothing you can disclose to God that would be a surprise. Oh, you're kidding. You did that? Oh, I'm shocked. I didn't know. What you gonna hide? What you gonna hide from presence itself? We just tripping. God already knows. We just can't get the blessing till we know. They're not God. There's nothing to prove. Just because you exist, that's enough. I mean, when a baby's born, come on, really. What exactly has a baby contributed to the gross national product? You know, who has that baby served? What, you know? What contribution has it made to society? How dare? It's just looking for a handout. You know? Just want somebody to take care of him. Just lazy, shiftless. Why does a baby deserve? What has it earned? It deserves just because it is. Children deserve just because they are. We are all children of God. You know, when did it turn? When did it turn from we deserved it just because we existed to we had to earn it? When is that shift? 7? 5? 12? You know, when? What is that? People misunderstand that all the time. Grace. Greek charis. From what we get the word charitable. Sometimes it's interpreted as love. Charis. It's defined as unmerited favor. And we so misunderstand that. We think it means grace is unmerited favor, like we don't deserve it. Like God's providing for us even though we don't deserve it. No, it's unmerited favor because it can't be earned through merit. God's grace cannot be earned. It simply is. It'd be the same like calling something priceless. There's no amount of money that could qualify its value. I have some beautiful letters on that in the Sacred Yes, Volume 1 of my Letters from the Infinite series. Beautiful letters on grace and this idea of the deserving or the not deserving. And in one of the letters, it was admonishing us for our judgment, saying, you know, we get all upset with God blessing people thinking they don't deserve it. And the spirit voice challenging. He's saying, who are you to say who deserves and not deserves? You haven't even figured out that your own self deserves. So how are you going to be the judge of what somebody else deserves? You haven't figured out you deserve yet. God just wants a yes. That's all. Just as you are. with all my flaws and all my idiosyncrasies and everything. Just, yes, just lay all of you upon the altar and allow the alchemy of the divine to transform and to transmute all of it into something that is a blessing. Because every single thing in your life, every hurt, every pain, every so-called failure, every offense, every victory, every skill set, everything that has ever happened to you is part of your own unique ministry. And when you turn it over to God, without judgment, without trying to hide anything or get rid of anything, God will transform it. So that the thing that you were the most ashamed of or that hurt you the most, whatever, the abuse, the molestation, the this or that, when you turn it over to God, it becomes part of your testimony and your strength. And you're able to use that very thing for God's glory. God wants all of you. Not picking and choosing which parts of you are going to be acceptable in God's eyesight. God just wants us. Lay it all on the altar. Even the stuff we're so proudful about, lay it on the altar.
Yes, I will. Thank you for that. Thank you so much.
You know I'm talking to myself because there's only one of us here.
Well, thank you for sharing your umbrella because I was feeling a little cold. I was like, all by myself. It's just me. But I'm not by myself, right?
Mm-mm.
That's good to know. Thank you for this. Well, Rev D, here we are, another Tuesday night, and you got me crying.
Can I leave on a note? This is from Meditations of the Heart by Howard Thurman. Just to bring us full circle, Howard Thurman was a classmate of Martin Luther King Sr. at Morehouse College. And he became the first black dean of a major ministerial school. He became dean at the Boston University's Divinity School. He came to California and started the first interracial church in San Francisco. And he went to Gandhi, went to India, and brought back some of Gandhi's nonviolent social justice processes that got incorporated into our civil rights movement here in the United States. He was like an uncle to King Jr. He grew up with Howard Thurman. This little thing is called More Loving in My Heart. It says, I want to be more loving in my heart. I want to be more loving. Often there are good and sufficient reasons for exercising what seems a clean, direct resentment. Again and again, I find it hard to hold in check the sharp retort, the biting comeback, when it seems that someone has done violence to my self-respect and decent regard. How natural it seems to give as good as I get, to take nothing lying down, to announce to all and sundry in a thousand ways that no one can run over me and get away with it. All of this is a part of the thicket in which my heart gets caught again and again. Deep within me, I want to be more loving, to glow with the warmth that will take the chill off the room, which I share with those whose lives touch mine in the traffic of my goings and comings. I want to be more loving. I want to be more loving in my heart. It's often easy to have the idea in mind, the plan to be more loving, to see it with my mind eye and give assent to the thought of being loving. This is crystal clear. But I want to be more loving in my heart. I must feel like loving. I must ease the tension in my heart that ejects the sharp barb, the stinging word. I want to be more loving in my heart. That with unconscious awareness and deliberate intent, I shall be a kind, gracious human being. Thus, those who walk the way with me may find it easier to love, to be gracious, because of the love of God, which is increasingly expressed in my living. I want to be more loving in my heart. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Reverend D. Appreciate
you.
Blessings. Peace and blessings.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to all the people who took their Tuesday night to hang out with us tonight on Living in the Yes. Make sure you join us next week where Rev D will go even further about cultivating this Yes. Rucker, gifts to the goddess. And don't forget to join another goddess, Ambassa Safira, on Thursday nights, The Play Experience, 6 p.m. Eastern, and me, Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Life Coach Today, it's been fun. Yeah. I think it's time for us to say goodnight.
It is time to say goodnight. Karen Drucker, you can find her on iTunes or KarenDrucker.com. If you go to iTunes, Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Drucker, D-R-U-C-K-E-R. And yes, it's time to release the show. Thank you for tuning in. Peace and blessings. Here's a gift for you, the gift of the goddess, as Celeste said. Thank you, Celeste.
You're welcome.
These are the gifts of the goddess, love, joy, and peace. Gifts of the goddess, are you ready to receive all the gifts of the goddess? Love, joy, and peace. Gifts of the goddess, are you ready to receive? Love, are you ready? Joy, are you ready? Goddess, love, joy, and peace. Gifts of the goddess, I am ready to receive all the gifts of the goddess. Love, joy, and peace. Gifts of the goddess, I am ready to receive. Love,
love,
I am ready.
Are you ready?
Joy,
joy.
I am ready. Receive compassion. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Forgiveness. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Laughter.
Bow-wow.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
I am ready to receive.
Passion. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Success.
Are you ready?
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.